Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for turn number 560. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, please email me at rabbiyasmach@take10fortorah.org. So this week's parasha, of course, is Parshas Noach. And in Parshas Noach, we have the very well-known flood. And the Torah is very clear about why the flood happens. It says, "Vatishaches ha'aretz lefnehu elokim, vatimali ha'aretz chamas." The world was corrupt, the world before God was corrupt, and it was filled with chamas. Rashi says, maybe there were a lot of things going on wrong, a lot of different types of evil behavior are indicated in our various sources, but lo nechtam gzardinam ela al hagezel. Rashi says that the decree was ultimately because of gezel, as the next pasuk says as well. That's the reason ultimately that whatever, even though hine nishchasa ki hishchas kalbasar, it's the chamas which ultimately destroys them. The Ramban says the chamas was very well known, and he says in particular the chamas should have been dealt with or avoided in the first place. It's a mitzvah muskelas, he says. It's something which we can figure out on our own. We don't need a navi. We don't need somebody to come and tell us you shouldn't steal from other people. And it's the type of thing that we should have all understood individually, without even a god, without even a prophet. But the Ramban adds another comment over here. The Ramban says, "V'od shehu ra l'shamayim u'l'brios." It's also bad for heaven and for people. So why it's ra l'brios? Why it's bad for people if I steal your wallet? I think that's pretty obvious. But why is it bad for God? Meaning, there's something about gzela, stealing, which seems to imply a chet, a sin, when it comes to our relationship between Ben Adam Lamakam, our relationship with God himself. So how is that? What is that all about? So I want to explore that a little bit. The Midrash tells us that in particular, the sin of that generation, or the type of theft that they were involved in, was not larceny, it wasn't Grand Theft Auto, nothing like that. But rather, it tells the example of people who would steal in groups less than a sheva pruta. They would try to use loopholes to avoid being indicted or caught. And you would have a person with a pile of seeds. Each person would take one seed, and the seed itself would not be worth a pruta, would not be worth the smallest amount of money, and therefore was unactionable. You couldn't be taken to court for it, couldn't be sued. And so everybody got together and teamed together in order to be able to steal from this person. And ultimately, each person's behavior, they said themselves they're exempt, it's not their fault, nothing they could do, and I don't owe you anything because there's no actual amount of money. It was sort of using loopholes to get away with crime. So we can wonder if this is connected in the same idea. Now we know that unfortunately, Judaism sometimes gets a bad rap with business ethics, or I should say Jews get a bad rap when it comes to business ethics, and that's really a terrible thing. Gemara and Shabbos tells us in Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph that the very first question we're going to be asked when we get to the next world is Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Did we buy a sell? Did we behave in our business dealings with ethics, with integrity? Did we make the right decisions? Did we earn our money the right way? In Shema, multiple times a day, we say, "V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha." How much? How much are we going to love God? B'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha, and with all our me'od, with all of our possessions. This is understood either I'm going to use my possessions in the right way, I'm going to give tzedakah, or I'm going to spend it on the right things. But others understand b'chol me'odecha is I will love God in how I make my me'od, how I make my possessions, how I accrue and accumulate wealth. I'm going to do it in the right way, always realizing that God is involved, and also realizing that I need to behave ethically. Now this leads to a very famous comment of the Ibn Ezra, which we've probably mentioned many times, where the Ibn Ezra on the 10th commandment of Lo Tachmod asks, how in the world, Eich Ye Adam Shlo Yachmod Davar Yafa Belibo? Like, how can it be that a person will not be envious, a person will not covet something that is belongs to another person? How can this be commanded against? And so he explains very famously that a person has to understand that God actually really is involved in our parnasa, and because of that, you know, that's why we have this expression nasata v'nasata be'emuna. You know, you did it faithfully, not only faithfully where there's believability and faith between people, but also between you and God. You have to understand that, as the Gemara tells us, the money that we receive is katsuv. It's actually set from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, is decided what we're going to make, how we're going to do. And the Ibn Ezra gives, you know, the classic example of a peasant who sees the princess, and he doesn't really imagine that there's going to be an opportunity for him to be with, to marry the princess. It's just never going to happen. And similarly, we have an interesting phenomenon. There's this wonderful podcast. Once I'm selling podcasts, or at least my own, I'll sell somebody else's as well, called The Happiness Lab, that I've been listening to recently. And on this podcast, she discusses the silver medal phenomenon, where if you look at three medalists, gold, silver, and bronze, on a podium, the silver medalist is always the most upset, or has the sourest face in some way. Maybe it's very barely discernible, but it's there. And it seems that it's the silver medalist who's comparing themselves to the gold medalist, and therefore in that paradigm, understanding that because they're comparable, I could have been that person, so therefore they're very upset. Whereas the bronze medalist realizes, hey, I'm looking at everybody else who didn't even make this podium at all, and comparing himself to that or everyone else, that is obviously much more gratifying. We are very, very, our happiness is very contingent on what we are comparing, what our expectations are, what we're comparing ourselves to, and what paradigm we construct around ourselves. And so says the Ibn Ezra, if we are able to understand that everything is with Amunah, and everything is Ktsuvim, Mirosh Hashanah, V'ad Yom HaKippurim, that is all set up, so then I'm going to be upset that this person has this thing. Now, I might want that thing, and it's okay to want a thing. You don't want the thing that that person has. You don't want to take it from them. You don't shouldn't be bothered by the fact that that person has it and you don't. That's the issue when it comes to Lo Sachmut. And so understanding that it all comes from God, and we have a responsibility to behave like that, is very critical. You know, a person doesn't need to save God the time by skimming a corner or doing something that they really probably shouldn't be doing in order to give God another way to give you $5. You know, if you're going to be saving that money, even if it's a large amount, a person has to realize that God has other ways to deliver this money to me. If he really does believe in God's involvement in his life, there are other ways for me to get this money without me needing to do something which is dishonest. And this really reinforces the idea of chamas having to do not only being ra librios, that it's bad for other people, but also ra lishamayim. There's a basic idea that we have in the Gemara Brachos that asur lo adam sheyehene min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. We're not allowed to enjoy this world without making a bracha, without acknowledging where everything in this world is from. And that's true of even the things that we are zocha, that we merit to be able to make as income, the ability for us to put money away and to enjoy our own money after having made it, is also there only by the grace of Hashem. And therefore, we understand that when we take from other people, and we shouldn't, we are somehow doing a sin which is not just bin adam l'chaveru, and taking it from somebody else dishonestly, but also bin adam l'makom, not acknowledging God's involvement in our life. So famously, there's a Mishnah that says that a person who uses a loophole, the loophole over here is, if I make a verbal agreement with you and even go so far as to pay money towards the purchase of something. So the Gemara explains that paying money does not actually acquire the item, because as long as the item has not been delivered, the seller still has the opportunity to deliver it, and the seller can still, at that point, technically retract. So the reason that this is there, a whole discussion of the Gemara about why that is, maybe because we want to make sure the seller is going to take care of it, and if it's already belongs to the buyer, then he won't take care of it as well. But simply, the Mishnah says, if a person at that point retracts from the sale, he says, hey, I can get a better price from somebody else. And so he says, take your money back. I don't want to go through the sale. So says the Mishnah, it says, Aval Amru, Misha Para Me Anchi Dar Hamabal Umidar Haflaga, the one who paid back, the one who gave compensation, and not obviously positive compensation, but negative compensation, from the Dar Hamabal, from the generation of the flood, should pay you back as well. And what this seems to mean is the Dar Hamabal, particularly according to that Medrash, was trying to find these slight loopholes. You know, yeah, it's technically not actionable in a court, it's too little of an amount of money for anybody to notice, I'm only going to skim one penny off of everybody in the world's bank account, who's really going to notice, but I'll obviously accumulate major wealth. But yet, that loophole is supposed to be closed. It's not supposed to be something that we are looking to make use of and take advantage of. And so that's the story of the flood. That's the chamas, it seems, which is Rala Shemayim and Rala Brios. So when a person wants to go and later use a different type of loophole, and, you know, technically after I've given the cash, the seller can still retract. You shouldn't. It's obviously breaking your word. It's not really Nasata Nasata Be'amuna. But still, a person who wants to go and do that has the ability to do so. But Mishapara Midar HaMarvel, the one who paid back, that generation of the flood is going to pay such a person back as well. And so the story of the flood, the story of the Mishapara, the idea that stealing, and particularly the type of stealing, the loophole provocations, the attempt to try to go around the rules and think that no, it's okay, that it seems is the attempt over here to close up those loopholes entirely and to not allow such a thing. That's what we learned from the flood, and that hopefully is the lesson for us all.